Hi. For the last 7 years and over 350 episodes, you've heard Michelle Grattan each week interview politicians and experts on the issues of the day. Now we're trying something a little different. As well as Michelle's usual interviews, we'll also be releasing a weekly interview between Michelle and a member of the Conversation Politics and Society team, where Michelle will get her chance to provide insight and analysis on the latest in Australian politics. From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hello, my name is Amanda Dunn. I'm the Politics and Society Editor for The Conversation, and I'm here in conversation with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, last week you were talking about the Speaker of the House, Tony Smith's iron fist during question time and his attempts to get an improvement in parliamentary standards. What do you think inspired him to take that stance?
Well, it was a sharp tongue as well as an iron fist that we heard from Tony Smith. I think that he's just decided that enough is enough, that the parliament is too unruly, but also, and this is really important, Amanda, that ministers are just slipping away from opposition questions, not answering them, just going into general raves about politics, and he's determined to try to enforce relevance.
Yes, and he did so in no uncertain terms, didn't he? He spoke quite sharply to the Prime Minister, right?
That's right. After he brought the Prime Minister back to a question and Scott Morrison said, yes, I'm happy to do that, the Speaker said, well, I don't care whether you're happy.
Okay, well, I'm going to say to the Prime Minister he can pause. He had done that and he'd moved on. And I'm asking you to return to the question.
Happy to do that, Mr. Speaker.
So I don't care whether you're happy or not. Okay. You need to return to the question.
Half a billion, Mr. Speaker.
And also he was very sharp with Greg Hunt, who wasn't going to sit down when he was told to, and he was sat down eventually, and I think the lesson should be learned. But it might take a while for the ministers to get the message.
Yes, there have been some moves, haven't there, to sort of reform parliamentary behaviour to stop the so-called Dorothy Dixer, where basically governments ask themselves questions they want to be asked, and to improve the general standard of civility in the House. Do you think the Speaker's moves are going to be well received within the Parliament?
Certainly the opposition thinks this Speaker, even before this latest crackdown, is fair and impartial. And I think he's one of the most impressive speakers that we've seen in recent times. And of course, a great contrast with the Bronwyn Bishop, who was totally, totally partisan. But nevertheless, it's quite difficult to reform question time. Dorothy Dixers, of course, are when government members ask questions. These are written by the government these days and often end up with, are there any other alternatives, which gives an opportunity to just bucket the other side's policy.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Treasurer. Will the Treasurer inform the House how the Morrison government's investment incentives and tax cuts are backing Australian businesses to drive our continued economic recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic? And Treasurer, are you aware of any alternatives?
There have been various efforts to reform, for example, having a quota of local questions, but that didn't work. It does require a culture change. Of course, we're talking a lot these days about the culture of Parliament House. Well, we do need a culture change in question time. Tony Smith's making a start, but he will need to get cooperation, and I don't think the government will be very happy about his efforts, frankly.
Okay, we'll watch that one with interest. On another topic, Michelle, Scott Morrison is about to jet off to Britain to attend the G7 meeting. Among the topics he'll be talking to other world leaders about will be tackling the COVID pandemic, opening up international travel again, and how countries deal with China and Russia. Plus, of course, the ongoing difficulty for Scott Morrison anyway in dealing with climate change. He'll also have a face-to-face meeting with new US President Joe Biden. What do you think are going to be the priorities for the Prime Minister at that meeting? And what should we be all looking out for?
I think he will be anxious to talk about China and to hear what other leaders say about China and how to deal with its increasing assertiveness. And, of course, especially Australia has been feeling this with its trade moves against us. Australia, of course, is not part of the G7. We're an observer, a visitor at this meeting, as we've been in the last couple of years. But it is important to get first-hand briefings about the international economy and whatever is and can be done more to combat the COVID pandemic.
These are incredibly important meetings for Australia's national interest. And these matters are being well managed here in Australia, and I'm in constant contact with the situation, whether in the Victoria or anywhere else. But when you're sitting down with the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, the President of France, the Prime Minister of Japan, our biggest allies and partners around the world, and to have been invited to do so.
On another question, on the climate change question, of course, Scott Morrison really will have a bit less to say in terms of positive things. He'll be defending Australia's record. He's not willing yet to embrace that target of net zero emissions by 2050. It remains an open question whether he gets there before the big climate conference in Glasgow at the end of the year, but certainly I think it's his aim to do so. One other thing on the meetings he's having overseas. He will be having his first face-to-face meeting with Joe Biden as president, and that's a pretty important meeting given that he hasn't had the chance to go to Washington yet.
And Michelle, on this, the ongoing trauma of the pandemic, we're here in Victoria still in our fourth lockdown, but we're being told we're on track for restrictions to ease later this week. There's been a lot of criticism of the government in terms of the vaccination rollout. Is there any indication that that's improving?
This is a challenge in Victoria, but it's one that will be overcome. And it will be one that I hopefully will see Victoria opened again soon. And particularly for those parents who are having to keep their kids at home away from school. Kids have lost enough time out of school over the course of the last 18 months. And it's very important we get those kids back to school as soon as possible. So I am hopeful that these restrictions in Victoria will be lifted as soon as possible.
Certainly, I think the government is aware that it needs to speed up the rollout to make it more efficient. Now, actually doing that is proving quite difficult. And we saw last week the Prime Minister announce a general who's to be in charge of the operation now. And I think that that is a mark of the government's concern and frustration that this program isn't working better. That's an implicit criticism of the health department, perhaps the health minister, who've been on the front line of the rollout. It's also a reflection of the fact that the government, the federal government, wanted to take full charge of this rollout so that it could get the credit. Well, as it turns out, it is, of course, getting the blame. And that is politically awkward for it. And Scott Morrison really needs to get this fixed up in coming months, or it will affect him at the election.
And just finally, Michelle, on that point, we know that we can expect a federal election within the next 12 months. It's more likely at this stage to be next year than this year. But how will all of this play out, do you think, in terms of when Australians next go to the polls?
If the lesson of past elections that we've seen over recent months is any guide, provided he gets the rollout under control soon and most people are vaccinated by early next year, you would expect the pandemic to play to Scott Morrison's advantage. But he has to do that. He has to get things sorted and operating pretty smoothly by the end of this year. I think that as things stand at the moment, he is certainly losing some skin. But on the other hand, the opposition really isn't getting its story through very effectively. And if it's going to be seriously in the game, it has to have convincing messages and positive things to say, not just criticisms of the government, rolled out over the next few months.
Yes, well, we'll see how that all unfolds. Okay, great to talk with you as always, Michelle. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda. Nice to chat.
Our theme music is by Lee Rosevier. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.